Timing offsets for Ragga Vocal Chops, advanced drum and bass groove in Ableton Live. Let's go. Today we're getting into the thing that makes Ragga Chops feel expensive. Not the sample. Not the distortion. Not the reverb micro timing. In proper rolling DNB and jungle, you're not placing vocals on the grid. You're placing them against the grid. That push and pull is the whole conversation. Vocal versus snare. Vocal versus hats. Vocal versus bass weight. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a tight 16-bar drop idea at around 172 BPM with a vocal chop instrument, and you'll be able to deliberately make certain chops feel urgent by landing early and other chops feel heavy by dragging late. And we'll do it in a way that still locks with the drums, not that randomly sloppy late. Alright, step 0, session setup. Quick but non-negotiable. Set your project tempo to 172 BPM. Drop in your drums. Either a loop you trust or a kit you build. The big rule. Keep the snare stable. Snare on 2 and 4. Clean. Consistent. Hats can be rolling 16THS or a shuffled top loop, whatever your style is. But the snare is your ruler. If the snare is drifting or inconsistent, you'll never know whether the vocal timing is the problem or the drums are. Now step 1. Prep the Ragga vocal for chopping. This is where people accidentally ruin the groove before they even start. Drag your Ragga vocal onto an audio track. Go down to clip view. Turn warp on. For full phrases, Complex Pro is usually the cleanest tone. For short shouts and little syllables, Tones often hits harder and stays punchy. If the vocal is free time, set the SAG BPM roughly right so Ableton isn't doing something extreme behind the scenes. Now zoom in. You're hunting consonants. The T, K, B, C, H, P sounds. Those are the actual timing cues the listener locks onto. Vowels are vibe, consonants are truth. If your consonant is late, the whole chop sounds late, even if the waveform looks close. Quick workflow tip, duplicate the vocal track. One track is your clean, warped source. The second track is where you do chops and resamples. That way you can get surgical without fear. Step 2. Create the chop instrument. The fast advanced method is slice to new MIDI track. Right-click the vocal clip and choose slice to new MIDI track. Start with transient slicing. If it slices weird, you can adjust transient sensitivity, or in some cases slice by a musical grid like 8 notes. Once it creates the MIDI track, open Simpler and make sure it's in slice mode, with playback on trigger. Then tweak sensitivity, so your slices land on useful syllables, not random breaths. Now treat it like a real instrument. Group it into an instrument rack and add a tight, practical chain. EQ8 first. High pass around 90 to 150 Hz, because low rumble on vocals will fight your bass and make the groove feel slow. Then saturator with soft clip-on. Drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB for most stuff. Glue compressor after that, gentle, just kissing it. 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Utility if you need to keep the low end centered. Optional DNB sauce. Auto filter for radio style moments. Beat repeat for occasional stutters. But keep those as intentional ear candy, not permanent chaos. Step 3. Write the initial pattern on grid first. This is important. We're not humanizing randomly. We're designing groove. Make a 2-bar MIDI clip. Put a couple of key shouts right on beat 2 and maybe beat 4. Because that's where the snare lives. Then add a response on and after 2, and maybe a longer phrase that leads into 4 or just after 4 to create a turnaround. At this stage it might sound basic. Good, that's the point. We want a clean bass line so every timing change is a decision. Now step 4, the core of the lesson. Micro timing at 3 levels. Level A is note start offsets inside the MIDI clip. This is where you sculpt the feel slice by slice. Double click the MIDI clip. Click a note. Now nudge it in tiny increments. You can hold Option on Map or Alt on Windows and use the arrow keys for very small moves, or turn the grid off so you can place notes freely. Here are some starting points that work in 170 to 175 BPM DNB. For push, meaning early, think -5 to -20 milliseconds. That's your urgency zone. Great for short, consonant-heavy chops, the ones that go hey, oi, be woi, run. Anything that's basically a percussive hit. For pull, meaning late, think +8 to +30 milliseconds. That's your wait zone. Great for longer, vowel-heavy chops, or phrases where you want swagger and menace. Rule of thumb. Consonants can be slightly early and feel exciting. Longer vowel chops can be slightly late and feel heavy. If you flip that, it often feels wrong fast. Now, a coach-level trick. Start thinking in repeatable nudges, not just random milliseconds. If you work at 48K, 1 millisecond is about 48 samples. Make yourself 3 go-to moves, a tiny nudge, 2 to 4 ms, a pocket nudge, 8 to 12 ms. A statement nudge, 18 to 28 ms. The value of that is consistency. You'll be faster and you'll build your own personal timing language. Also, pick a timing anchor slice. One chop, the clearest one, the one with the best consonant. That anchor lands nearly the same every bar. Everything else can flex around it. That single anchor is what makes your loose choices read as intentional. Level bead is track delay. This is your macro alignment. In the mixer section, find the track delay for your vocal chop track. Now we're not moving individual notes, we're shifting the entire track earlier or later. If your whole vocal lane feels like it's sitting behind the drums, try minus 10 ms. If it feels too eager and it's stepping on the snare transient, try plus 10 ms. This is like adjusting the seat after you've already tuned the instrument. Do it after note nudging, not before. Level C is groove pool. Controlled swing, but be careful with vocals. Open the groove pool and try an MPC style swing, or extract groove from a top loop that already rolls the way you want. Apply it lightly. Timing maybe 10 to 25%. Random 0 to 10. Velocity only if it helps, and keep it subtle. Here's the warning. Too much groove on vocals smears consonants, and once consonants smear, micro-timing becomes pointless because the listener can't tell what you intended. For ragged chops, manual micro-nudges usually beat heavy groove templates. Step 5. Make the chops talk to the snare. This is the jungle ragga magic. It's not just vocal plus drums, it's conversation. Solo your drums for a second and mentally label the snare transient on beat 2 and beat 4. Now decide for each main vocal hit. Is it a throw into the snare, or an answer after the snare? If you place a chop just before the snare, like 10 to 25 ms early, it feels like hype, like the vocal is pushing the snare forward. If you place a chop just after the snare, like 10 to 35 ms late, it feels like swagger. The snare lands first and the vocal replies. Try a 4-bar concept. Bars 1 and 2, mostly after the snare. Laid back, rolling. Bars 3 and 4, switch to mostly before the snare. Suddenly the exact same pattern feels like it's lifting into the next section. That's arrangement energy without adding notes. Now step 6. Tighten perception with transient shaping and gating, because sometimes your timing is correct, but the sound is lying. If a chop feels late, it might not be late. It might just have a soft attack. So try a simple chain. Gate first. Fast attack. Like 0.1 to 1 ms. Hold around 10 to 30 ms. Release 30 to 80 ms. Just enough to cut breath and room noise so the start of the chop reads clearly. Then drum bus. Bring transients up a bit. Maybe plus 5 to plus 20. But be careful because you can get clicky. A Q8. Carve mud around 250 to 500 hz. And if the chop needs to speak, a little presence around 2 to 5 kHz. This is one of those big pro moments. Timing is not only where the clip starts, it's also how clearly the start is defined. Now step 7. Controlled chaos. Human, not messy. Use velocity to create hierarchy. The important chops, the ones answering the snare, get accents. The filler chatter is slightly softer. And here's a sneaky truth. Micro timing is level dependent. Loud chops read as the truth. Quiet chops can be a little later without sounding wrong. So if a late hit feels sloppy, try turning it down 1 or 2 dB before you move it again. Sometimes the fix is volume, not timing. If you want randomness, only randomize the filler chops and keep it tiny, plus or minus 3 to 8 ms. And keep your anchor chops consistent. A really effective workflow. Duplicate your 2-bar loop and create A and B variations. Variation A is heavier, a bit behind. Variation B is hype, a bit ahead. Alternate them every 4 or 8 bars. Now you've got motion without writing new MIDI. Now I want to add a few advanced variation moves you can try if you want to level this up even more. 1. Two-lane timing, lead versus ad-libs. Put your intelligible phrase slices on one lane. Keep them within a tight timing range like plus or minus 6 ms. Put your hype noises on another lane and let them go wider, like plus or minus 15 ms. That gives you clarity and chaos at the same time. 2. Phrase drag curves. Instead of one offset, make a bar gradually lean back. For example, every 8th note step you go plus 0, plus 4, plus 8, plus 12 ms. The listener feels motion, like the phrase is reclining into the pocket. 3. Pre-snare pickup clusters. Put 2 or 3 quick slices leading into the snare, but don't place them evenly. Make the first pickup slightly late, like a tease. The second a little early, like it snaps. The third very early, like it throws into the snare. That non-linear feel is how you get that the snare always wins impact without the vocal masking it. 4. Flam layering. Duplicate a chop. Pitch the duplicate slightly, like +3 semitones or -5, and separate them by 6 to 14 ms. Keep the second one quieter. It won't sound like a double. It'll sound like thickness and groove emphasis. Now, pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. The menace drag technique. Take longer chops, set them 15 to 35 ms late, and then distort them harder. Saturator drive 6 to 12 dB if it can take it, and a tiny low mid push around 200 to 350 Hz. Small. The point is not mud, it's body. That combination makes the vocal feel like it's leaning back into the roller. Bullet band timing illusion is huge. Duplicate the chop track. On the first one, high pass at around 1 to 2 kHz so it's mostly attack and presence, and set it slightly early, like -10 ms. On the second one, low pass at 1 to 2 kHz so it's mostly body, and set it slightly late, like +10 ms. Your ear hears the attack early and the weight late, and suddenly the pocket feels massive. And one more that's super practical. Sidechain the vocal to the snare lightly. 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction, just to keep the snare in charge. That way you can get daring with timing without stealing the snare transient. Now, a quick 3 reference check, because this will save you from bad decisions. Do 3 listens. First, vocal plus snare only. That tells you your timing intent. Second, vocal plus hats only. That tells you if it feels urgent or if it drags against the top groove. Third, vocal plus bass only. That tells you if your late chops feel heavy in a good way, or just behind and blurry. If it works in all three, it'll usually survive the full mix. Also, watch out for warp marker drift when slicing. If your source clip has a bunch of warp markers breathing around, different slices can inherit different microstretches, and you'll feel like you're losing your mind, because the same nudge doesn't behave the same way across slices. A good fix is to simplify the warp markers, keep just the start and end, or resample a clean warped version, then slice that. Common mistakes to avoid as you do all this. First, offsetting everything the same direction. If every chop is late, it's not groove, it's sloppy. Give different chops different roles. This audio version is shortened for playback.